We're climbing a mountain. We're climbing a mountain with the Lord, and good things are happening. We're Holy Ghost people. Praise God. Praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for the Holy Ghost. I just want to say, God, I'm so thankful for the Holy Ghost. I'm so thankful for the one that you sent to live in our heart, to be in my life, to live within me, to come upon me, to endue us with a power that is from on high. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful to have the knowledge of the Holy Ghost, to know who he is, to know how he works with me, to know how he influences my life. I'm so thankful, Lord. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for who the Holy Ghost is to me, to us as a church. I'm so thankful for who he is to the world, really, that the world doesn't even know. John G. Lake made this statement. Y'all remember the account where he had gone out into a park one night and he was drawn by a light and didn't really know what the light was, but was drawn to that light. And when he got to that light, it was an angel. And the angel began to talk to him and tell him some things. And the angel of the Lord told him that it was only Pentecost, as given through the book of Acts. It was only Pentecost. That means the Holy Spirit being poured out. The Holy Spirit coming to live inside the believer and coming upon the believer and enduing us with the power. He said only that would meet the necessity of the human heart. Only a life in the Holy Ghost, only a life in the Holy Ghost is going to meet the necessity of your heart. You can look in all kinds of places in all kinds of ways, even as religious people, but it's only a life in the Holy Ghost, only a vibrant life in the Holy Ghost that's going to meet the necessity of your heart. And he went on to say that only that, a life in the Holy Ghost, would have the power to overcome the forces of darkness. Listen, the days are dark. There's evil stuff all around. But we have the overcomer living on the inside of us. Come on, we have the ability with the Lord. We have the ability in the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome things. Come on, isn't there a scripture that says that it's by the Lord that I can jump over a wall, that I can run against a troop? Come on, you know my story. Feeling like Superman. The Holy Ghost makes us feel like Superman. I mean, every time we pray in tongues, we ought to get so stirred up on the inside, it's like, oh no, I feel my cape. Come on, I have just come out of the booth. What? And now the Holy Ghost is in me, and the Holy Ghost is on me, and I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can run against any obstacle. Come on, I can climb over a wall. No matter what stands before me, I got God in me. He is unstoppable. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is a life with the Holy Ghost. And so in the Bible, when God was revealing to us the Holy Spirit, he was telling us things about him, who he is, how he works. Because, you know, he doesn't just come to live inside us and just barely be there. I mean, he comes to live in us to do a work. So he gave us some symbols, and we've been talking about the Holy Ghost in the symbol of fire. We've been talking about the fire of God. Come on, that supernatural fire that when the Holy Spirit came to live inside you and came upon you, come on, was lit up by God. How faithful God is to give us what we need in this life. And it comes through the Holy Ghost. And so we have to know that we have this fire in us. And we want to be faithful with the fire. You know, part of our whole Christian life, really, we don't talk about it a lot. You don't always hear it talked about, but it's about stewardship. When we get to heaven and we stand before the Lord Jesus, he's going to talk to us about stewardship. How did we steward what he gave us? And one of the first things that he gives us is the Word and the Spirit. And how are we stewarding the Holy Spirit? I want to be faithful with the Holy Spirit. Who the Holy Spirit is, how he works, what he does. I want to be faithful with that. And so when instruction comes, like it did in the Old Testament, with the fire that they, the supernatural fire they were given, when the instruction comes that we're to stir up the fire, come on, that we're to fuel the fire, I want to be faithful with that. Come on, when the instruction comes that we're not to let the fire die out, that we're to keep it burning. And I'm talking about keeping it burning in a hot measure. Come on, in a bright measure. in a really big measure. I'm not talking about a fire that's in you that no one can really see any result of. I'm talking about a fire that burns in you that makes things different in your life. I want to be faithful to that. And so we've been talking about fueling our fire, how to fuel the fire, knowing that the fire is there and a necessity, all the things that the fire does for us. And we've been talking about, in the last sessions here, we've been talking about two catalysts to fueling our fire, two things that are really substantial, really important, that really some of the other things are built on. Our reading the Word, our praying, things like that are really built on top of a couple of very underlying things that we have in the Lord that we're to do in the Lord. And the first one, of course, we talked about was the joy of salvation along with true worship. That we have to be people that are living in the joy of our salvation. Once again, if the Lord never does another thing for me, the fact that He has saved me and what I have in salvation is enough. And that makes me want to get up every day. It makes me be happy every day. It makes me stay in church every time the doors are open. It makes me press into God. It makes me read my Bible because I'm saved, because I'm tagged as a child of God, because I'm defined as one who is His, because He saved me, redeemed me, sanctified me, loved me, accepted me, how He's healed me, delivered me, restored me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that was the first catalyst that we talked about. The second catalyst that we've been talking about is surrender along with true consecration. And so tonight we're going to finish up on that consecration part and maybe get into a few things that are going to help you come prepared Sunday to receive. So will y'all listen up fast? So we can get through this. But remember that Romans chapter 12, verse 1, paraphrasing here, says that we're to present ourselves as a living sacrifice to God, holy and acceptable. And that really is what is our reasonable service or our reasonable worship to God. And so it's talking about surrendering our life is really giving our lives back to the Lord in thanksgiving for what God has done for us. God has done some stuff for us. As a matter of fact, God has done everything for us. God has already paid. Jesus paid the price fully and completely for your life. For your life to be good, for your life to be holy, for your life to be wonderful. And in that surrender, as we're learning to surrender, and I've talked about, you know, it's a constant, it's an ever going before the Lord, then we fully consecrate our lives to the Lord. We fully consecrate ourselves to the Lord, living for the Lord, for His kingdom, for the gospel's sake. We're living to worship Him. We're living for the will of God. We're living for the purposes of God. Even in the natural things that we do in life, not compartmentalizing ourselves. We're not spiritual and have a spiritual life on Sundays or at home when we're reading our Bible, but at work, we're just living naturally. No. At work, we're still living for God. We're still working as unto the Lord. We're working to honor the Lord. We're producing something that's valuable to the world, to society. We're fulfilling the call of God. Everybody in here has a vocation, has a place, an assignment, things that we do that seem natural. But we do them as unto the Lord, and that's how we stay connected with His grace, with His peace and His joy everywhere we are. So consecrate, of course, means to separate. It means to declare as sacred. It means to dedicate our lives to the work, to the service, to the worship of the Lord. Separate means to set apart. It means to come out from, the common, to come out from the unholy, to come out from the unclean, to come out from the world. This is to represent our life. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. We read that last time. That's what the Lord says, is that we're to separate ourselves, to come out from among. Even though we live in the world, we're not of the world. We don't act like the world. We don't think like the world. We don't talk like the world. We don't dress like the world. We don't look like the world. We don't do what the world does. That's why we're different. We're separated. We're set apart. We're sanctified. We're God's. And what God wants is us to be fully His. Fully. Fully His. All His. God wants all of us. We talked about that last time. He wants all of us. So it is about us continually surrendering our life. I want to read a scripture to you. You're not going to be able to put it up because it's in the Message Bible, but I just want to read it to you. I like this. It's Psalm chapter 5, verse 3, part B. It says this. It says, every morning I lay out the pieces of my life on the altar. We're to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. You know where the sacrifice goes? It goes on the altar. Where the fire is. This scripture, every morning or every night. I know you know I'm a night person. So praise God that God never sleeps and God never slumbers. And so when it's night for me, it's still morning for him. You know, it's all. Actually, there's no night in heaven. It's only light and only like that. So, you know, it's up to God. It's always. But every morning or every day, I lay out the pieces of my life on the altar. And then it says, and I watch for the fire to descend. In other words, Lord, here I am. And here's my life, every piece of it. And I'm putting it right here on the altar, Lord. And I'm giving it all to you, and I'm surrendering it all to you. And I'm saying, Lord, take what you want, burn it up. Every piece of my life, anything that you desire, I'm putting my life on the altar of the Lord. I say we've got to feed the fire of God in us. We have to consecrate our lives to him fully. We don't want just a scripture that says he must increase that I must decrease to just be a scripture. We want that to be the reality of our life, that he is ever increasing. And for him to increase, there's only so much capacity of me. There's only so much capacity of you. And so in the capacity of who we are, the more that self is in there, that means that the lesser measure of God is in there. In everything, our will, our emotions, our desires, our pursuits, whatever it is. But the less of us that we have, the more of us that we lay on the altar every day and say, Lord, it's all yours. Burn it up. Take it. I don't need it. I mean, I'm fully surrendered. Do with me as you will, Lord. The more of that we do, then the more of him that we get. And that is the cry of our heart. Lord, your will, not my will. You know, even Jesus in the earth had to acknowledge that. He had to come to the moment in dealing with the realization that he was fixing to endure the cross. He had to come before the Lord and say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done here. There's going to be times when there are things that are painful for our soul. They're painful to our what we like and what we want. They're painful to our comforts. They're painful to what we know. They're painful for what we thought for years. We planted a seed that wasn't really God and grew a great big tree. And now all of a sudden we realize that God wants to rip the whole tree up and cut it all to shreds. It happens. It happens. It's necessary. Continually dying to self. This is what the Lord expects from us. We can't take lightly that Jesus totally died to himself. And he totally gave up his life for you and for me. Catherine Kuhlman made this statement. She said that the Heavenly Father does not ask for golden vessels. He does not ask for silver vessels. What God asks for is yielded vessels, those who will submit their will to the will of the Father. And the greatest human attainment in all of the world is for a life to be so surrendered to him that the name of God Almighty will be glorified through that life. That's the goal of each and every one of us, is that God will be glorified in our life. He'll be glorified in us at work. He'll be glorified in us through relationships, in the home, how we deal with people. He'll be glorified in us through our service in church, through our Christian life, our assembly life together, that God will be glorified. It's not about us. It's not even about, Lord, here I am. You know, how will you use me? It's, Lord, here I am. Do what you want with me. Don't get hung up on trying to be something or do something in God. Just be submitted. Just be surrendered. Just be yielded. And you'll find in that, you'll find the greatest fulfillment. And when you stand before the Lord, you won't be disappointed. Yielding or surrendering so as to be useful to the Lord, that's a consecrated life. Listen, we may not start out as golden vessels. None of us do. But if we will keep surrendering and truly consecrating our life to Him, we'll find that we'll become golden vessels. If we'll keep putting ourselves on the altar, on the wheel of the potter, and allowing the Lord to mold us and shape us and rearrange. Listen, this is a daily thing. What might be okay, what might be the will of God today, tomorrow, next month, this year, may not be the will of God in the next season. We have to be okay with that. There's really gold in the fire. Do you know that the gold is the best of the best? Gold is the finest of the finest. In gold, there's no impurities, there's no dross, it's been refined, it's been purified, and so that's really what I'm after in my life. That's what I want, and that's what you should want, is we should go for the gold. We should want to be golden vessels. We should want to be the best of ourselves. Again, this is not about comparison. It's not about you you versus anybody or you in relation to anyone. This is about you. I want the best version. I want the gold version of me. That's all I want, Lord. It's just the gold, the best of me for you. I don't want the second best of me. I don't want half-hearted me. I don't want some of me. You get a little of me. No. I want to give you all of me, and what I want to give you is the goal. I want the best. So we're constantly putting ourselves on the fire so that the Lord can refine, so that the Lord can make us better. That's what I'm after, to really be a vessel that is sanctified, holy, fit for the Master's use, so that when the Lord looks at me, He says, wow, surrendered and consecrated. Those are tags that I'm aiming for over my life. So that I'm not holding anything back from the Lord. Consecration adds tremendous fuel to your fire. If you sense that your fire is lacking, or you sense that your fire is not hot enough, you're having struggle getting rid of things, means you need to turn up the heat on the fire. You need to look at your consecration. You need to get yourself out and lay yourself on the altar and find out what you need to give up for the Lord. Maybe you need to give up some sleep. There are times and seasons when the Lord ought to be able to use you in the wee hours of the night, where you're up on your knees before the Lord crying out, working out with God. That's a yielded vessel. Are we even willing? Or are we going to turn back over and act like, no way? What if I miss out on sleep? I won't be prepared for tomorrow. I'll be tired. No, you won't, because it will be in the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the Holy Ghost, there's nothing lacking. Amen. You will wake up refreshed, full of energy. I feel a call here. Some people that the Lord might be tapping in a season to say, I need to use you. I need to use you where you're sacrificing something. Maybe it's your sleep. Maybe it's your time. Maybe it's time you reserve for yourself when you get home, and this is my downtime. Maybe some of your downtime needs to be surrendered to the Lord. Maybe you don't need as much downtime as you think you do. Maybe if we would consecrate our downtime to the Lord, what we would find is that we would have fuel now in our fire, and we'd be so fired up, so ready to go, that we wouldn't be dealing with all the stuff we think we're dealing with. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for perfecting us. Thank you, Lord, for making us sharper. Consecration adds tremendous fuel to our spiritual fire. It's definitely a catalyst. It's like a fire accelerant. You know, you got a fire and you want to turn up the heat? Find an accelerant and throw it on there. Why? You better step back, because it's going to, like, whoa! You ever been in a fire like that? So talking about consecration, it's interesting to note here that really consecration fuels the fire, but really without fire, you can't live a consecrated life. A steady burning fire is really what's needed for you to live a consecrated life. And so this is where you find yourself, you know, like, what's going to come first? What's going to come first? the fire that's going to come from God, where God's just going to make us want to live holy, live right. And then once I feel like, wow, I'm really connected with the Lord and I'm living right, and I'm, then I'll be able to consecrate my life more. So I find people many times, it's like stuck. It's like this wheel. Like what's going to make the wheel go? Okay? Is it going to be that God's going to do something with your fire all of a sudden so the wheel starts and then your fire gets so hot now that you consecrate your life and now things start turning? You know what I'd say? I'd say you need to do your part. Stop waiting on God to do something. God's given you every tool that you need. God already lit the fire. That was God's part. Our part is to stir up that fire. Our part is to put fuel on the fire. And sometimes what we have to do is we do this by faith. We do it because we know we need to do it. We do it by discipline. You know that really bad D word in the Christian language, discipline. We have a D word and an F word, discipline and fasting. But sometimes we do this by discipline. It's not that we feel like a sacrifice of waking ourselves up at 3 a.m. I feel like I'm going to wake myself up at 3 a.m. for three nights in a row and pray with the Lord because I want to consecrate something to Him. I want to surrender something to Him. But we do it because we need to. We do it because we know. And if we do that, what it is now we're adding fuel on the fire with our faith by our discipline. So now we're throwing fuel on the fire. And spiritually, when you start throwing more fuel on the fire will get hotter. The fire will burn brighter. And so then what will start happening is you'll start, then the want to kicks in. And then you're not having to do it by necessarily by faith and by discipline. You're doing it because you want to. You're doing it because it's in you. It's like, there's no way today that I could not read my Bible. There's no way today that I could not pray in the Holy Ghost. There's no way today that I couldn't do the things of the Lord that I know I need to do because I'm so hungry. I mean, I'm just so hot for God. The fire represents zeal. It represents us being hot toward God in the kingdom of God. That's partly what the fire does. It stirs us up toward God. The fire really, when the fire gets in us, or the fire being on us, is what keeps us loving and serving God and people. And so we have to get really, really good at tending to our fire. That's why we've been talking about this so much. Tending to our fire and throwing the fuel on the fire, because the more skillful we are, see, skillful to me is like a Holy Ghost word. I want to be skillful in the things of God. I don't want to be mediocre. I don't want to just have a job. I want to be skillful. I want to be skillful in the Word. I want to be skillful in the Holy Spirit. I want to be skillful in my assignment. I want to be skillful in tending the fire. I want to be skillful. The more skillful that we are, the better we are at tending to the fire, the stronger the fire will be. And the stronger the fire is, then the more fervor and the more passion and the more zeal that we're going to have for the Lord and for the things of the kingdom. It's going to be easier for us to live holy, to live righteous, to live as unto the Lord. And then the better we are at living such a life for the Lord, then really the freer we are of the things of the world, the freer we are of darkness and temptations and things. They won't have the same hold on us. We won't have to deal with them in the same capacity because our unquenchable fire will just be so hot. It'll be the minute that gets close to me. It won't be like a struggle and a, oh, Lord, oh, you know. If that's the thing, what you need to do is you need to get with God and figure out what you need to do to stir your fire up, to add some fuel to the fire so that your fire will get bigger and your fire will get hotter. God wants us free of all that junk. He absolutely wants us free. And He's given us a work of the Holy Spirit, not even a work of ourselves. It's a work of the Spirit that will free us. Matthew chapter 3, we've read this before, but I want to read it again. Matthew chapter 3, turn with me there if you have your Bible. Matthew chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. This is, of course, John the Baptist talking. Matthew chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. I will indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he, speaking of Jesus, who is coming after me, is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor. So first of all, you need to see that the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire causes us to be cleaned out. And that's why it's a continual work. That's why the fire has to keep burning. Because listen, we're out and about the stuff and the contamination and the things of the world all the time. But we have to stay clean. We stay clean by the fire. He will clean out his threshing floor and he will gather his wheat into the barn. That means he's gathering some things to himself and he's leaving some things in the barn. He's pushing some things out. He's rejecting some things. And then he says that the chaff will be burnt up with unquenchable fire. So one work of the fire is to separate us out, to separate us from things. Amen. Things that we don't need, things that aren't good for us, things that aren't in our season. Things that aren't connected to our assignment. The fire will separate us out. And the fire will separate us from people. Did you know there are people, even good people, even Christian people, what the fire does is the fire helps you recognize, even though I love them, even though they're a brother and a sister, and I'm for them, it doesn't mean that in this season they're supposed to be tightly connected to you. Do you know that there's some people that can't run with you? Did you know there's some people that can't run with you? Did you know there's some people that can't run with you? Listen, your life is so separated out that you're going to find people that can't run with you. And if people hang on to you, they'll hold you back. If there's a struggle in you over something of people that you know shouldn't be in your life, if you know that a relationship is unhealthy, again, not that they're like a bad person, not that they're like evil, it's just a thing with the Lord. Remember, we are set apart for Him. He loves us. He knows what's best for us. We're not all called to run together at the same time. If you have a struggle with that, it means the fire's not hot enough. Because the work of the fire is to separate out. The work of the fire is to clean you up, help you recognize, and then separate you or remove you from things that don't need to be in your life. Amen. Fela has a call on his life. Amen. I've known that for a long time. Amen. And I'm determined, because I'm connected with him, I'm determined that he's going to fulfill the call. Amen. So I'm very protective. Amen. I'm that way about any of you that I know anything about. These are days we can't be half-hearted. We can't be hanging on the fence. These are days we got to be running. These are days we're not walking. We're not tiptoeing around. We're not playing in the garden. We're running. We're running with a mission. We're running with a purpose. We're running with God, the kingdom. We're running with the Holy Ghost. We're running with the fire. We're running with advancing this kingdom everywhere, everywhere we go. Turn with me over to John chapter 2. John chapter 2, I know this is an account that everybody's read. We're going to start in verse 13. We'll end in verse 17. I'll stop in 16 actually for a moment and talk, and then I'll come back and read 17. But it says, "Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, 'Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise.'" What I need you to see here is that Jesus knew that something was in the temple that didn't belong there. Now listen, to many people this might not have seemed like a big deal, but to Jesus it was a big deal, okay? And Jesus, remember, in the Bible, he has set before us as our example. So we see a lot of things done outwardly with Jesus, because if they were just done inwardly, we wouldn't be able to see them. We wouldn't understand them. So what Jesus was doing here was he was saying something is in the temple that doesn't belong, and I'm going to clean the temple out. And so he took that cord, whip made of cords, and he went in there and he did, you know what he did? He loosed the fire of God. It was the fire that came that drove those people out. It was the fire of the Holy. It wasn't just Jesus in himself just thinking this was a good idea. It was the fire of God in him. Well, guess what? We are the temple of God now. We have to have the same determination. Jesus was not complacent. He didn't overlook it. He didn't act like it was okay. I mean, it made him hot. When we recognize something in our life, now I'm not talking about you dealing with other people. And I'm not talking about you going into a place and being the one to have to turn things upside down. It's a little different today in that capacity. But I'm talking about in your own life. When you recognize something in your own life that doesn't belong, you cannot be complacent. You cannot be just okay with it. You cannot compromise. There should be the fire of God in you that makes you your eyes get like real big, and you start going That's contrary to God. That has no right to me. That has no place in me, and I'm not going to allow it. And when we're hot for God, when we're stirred up, when our fire's burning, that's what happens. If you turn back to that verse in verse 17, talking about why Jesus did this, I want to talk about why he did it. It says, then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. Zeal, the fire of God for the house of God. You ought to be so in love with the house of God, with the church of God, with your assembly, that if you see anything demonic or anything messing with it, any division coming, any strife, man, you're on it. Man, you're on it spiritually. You're in your closet, Lord. That don't belong. That don't belong. The fire in me ain't going to allow that. So it's the fire in Jesus that caused him to recognize it, not be okay with it. He said, I'm getting it out, man. I'm getting it out. And then it was the fire of God in him that did the work. It's the fire in you that will do the work. It's the fire that will cause you to separate yourself out. It's the fire that'll cause you to just say, you know what? I'm really mad at this. And again, I'm not talking about just overt, gross sin. I'm talking about anything that doesn't belong in you. There's a fire that can burn that out. You know what doesn't belong in you? A bad attitude. You know what doesn't belong in you? Bitterness. You know what doesn't belong in you? Sickness. Did you know that sickness is contrary to the temple of God? Do you know that sickness doesn't have a right? Do you know that the reason sometimes that we deal with sickness is that we're not fed up with it yet enough? That we haven't stirred up our fire enough to just get really mad and say, I am not going to accept this. I'm not going to have it. And there's a fire in me that's, oh, it's big enough. It's unquenchable. When the sickness steps up against the fire will win every time. The problem is that our fire's not hot enough. We've let whatever it is, we've let time. Listen, I'm just trying to pull us up. There's no condemnation. Listen, we've all been sick. We've all had stuff. Everyone in this room can say not every single time have we been healed instantly or that very day. We're all in the same. I've been just trying to pull you up. Listen, either we're going to believe God or we're not. Amen. I'm sorry, but when the Lord brought you here, he brought you to a place where it's like, we can't be slack. We got to preach the truth and do our utmost best to live it out. Amen. If we fall, get up. If we fall again, get up again. Amen. And this is what these kind of messages do. They remind us. Boy, I've been reminding myself. Amen. Just stirring up the fire. Just I'm done with low living. I'm done with carnal living. I mean, I want what God has. I want what's rightfully mine. I want you to have what's rightfully yours. I want you to have what Jesus has already paid for you. But we're going to have to get hot enough about it to get mad about it. Jesus got mad that stuff was in the temple. I mean, he got mad enough to go away and make a cord, make a whip, and then come back. Sometimes we need to do that. We need to turn ourselves away, get with the Lord, get in the Word, praying in the Holy Ghost, building our faith up, and then we need to turn around with the fire in our eye. This stuff is real. And what's great about it is that, again, when it comes up to the sickness part, it's not you, yourself, that has to try to defeat the sickness. It's God in us. So our job is just to be surrendered enough and yielded enough and on fire enough . These two catalysts, they are really critical for your fire burning. If our fire is going to burn and it's going to burn right, we're going to have to know these. We're going to have to live these. I say, Lord, let the fire burn. I say, Lord, let it burn. I believe that if you could show me a people that are living in their redemption, that are living in the mercy of God, that are living in the joy of salvation, if you will show me a people that are living a life of worship unto God, if you can show me a people that are living a life where they're loving the Word of God, I believe I could say there's going to be a fire burning. Those are a people that are going to have a fire burning. I believe if you would show me a people that are repentant, if you would show me a people that are surrendered and yielded, if you would show me a people that are so consecrated to God where their life is on the altar daily and they're living their life fully unto the Lord, if you could show me a people that love the Holy Spirit, what I'd say is I'll show you a fire. I'll show you a fire that's burning bright and a fire that's burning hot. What we see about such people is that they're not after the outward blessing. They're not after the outward thing. What they're after is the Lord. They're after more of the Lord. They're after more of Him and less of me. They're after the goal. They're crying out for more. They're wanting to live in revival. That's what fire does. They're going for the goal. We're going for more of Him. And not just what He can give me, but I mean, I'm going for more of Him for the nature of Him, the essence of who God is in me. When that becomes our thrust, when that becomes our life, boy, our fire will be blazing. When we can say that we're going after more of God for the power of God and the glory of God, not just for myself, but for Him. I just had somebody overseas contact me this week. The guy from King Television asking me some things, and he was saying, let's make Jesus famous. I love that. The power's not for me. The power's not for yourself. Yeah, you'll benefit from the power. You'll benefit from the glory, but it's not just so that you can say, wow, I had an experience with the Lord, or wow, I had an encounter. No, it's that did something and changed your life, and now you're just, man, God everywhere. I'm taking God everywhere. I'm showing God everywhere. I'm living God everywhere. Such people are a people on fire. Such a people, I want to be a me people. Such people that are on fire, I want to be a me people. Such people that are on fire, I want to be a you people. I want you on fire. I want you blazing, ablaze with God. That's what it's going to take in these days. That's what it's going to take to not succumb to the world, to not live mediocre, to not have a common life. That's what it's going to take to be supernatural. Is we're going to have a fire that's burning in us. The Lord's been telling us to stir up the fire, to add some fuel to the fire, to keep the fire burning, to not let it die out. And so I'm saying yes. I'm saying yes. This is the time. We're going to have to fuel the fire and let that fire burn in us.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.